Let me ask a couple of questions as I always do. You want a richer, fuller, more rewarding life? You do? I do. I heard an I do. Beautiful, beautiful. So you want that, right? Oh, excellent. So here's where we're going to go with that. I'm going to teach you how to get it. Isn't that good to know, right? So not only do you have to want it, there are a couple of things that you have to do or stop doing. So it depends on which it's going to be for some of you, okay? So we're gonna delve into this. It's all for everybody individually. Your walk with God is different than my walk with God, and what God needs me to change and so I can grow into more likeness of who Christ Jesus is, the same is true for all of you. Everyone's different in that regard. But we all want the same thing, right? We all want to feel satisfied at the end of the day, at the end of our life. We want to be able to say, oh, man, I poured everything into it for God, because this is about spiritualness. This isn't about gathering things and getting things and all those other things that so many people think life is about and the world thinks that what's important. This is about our spiritual life. It's the most important part of us, right? That's why we're all here this morning. So we're going to go to the book of Matthew this morning, and we're going to be able to see this morning through Matthew and also in the book of Luke, you're going to see a couple of people who have different ways and different choices that they make that creates for them not exactly the life that they would want. So we're going to learn by exception. How about that? Isn't it good to know that sometimes, even though we grow up in certain types of family dynamics or sometimes even toxic households, that we don't have to be like that and we can be the exception to the rule, right? We can do everything not like that and become who we want to be like as far as it relates to God. So that's essentially what we're going to teach you this morning. Because the quality of your life, the quality of your life is the result of the quality of the choices you make. Every choice we make has a consequence, doesn't it? Right? It's even in the law of physics, right? Of course, right? For every action, there's a... That's right. Oh, well, they will. We have a bunch of scientists in the room. Awesome. Wow, awesome, awesome. So you know that. So, and God is the great lawmaker, right? He's the one that put all these laws into place, like the law of gravity. Aren't you glad we have it, right? Well, maybe not as you get older and, you know, start to slump. But needless to say, I'm glad we're able to stay on planet Earth at least, right? That's what gravity is for, right? All right, beautiful. So essentially, we're going to look at that this morning. So let's go to the book of Matthew this morning. And it's going to be, chapter 19, beginning at verse 16. Okay, all right, good, beautiful. Check these eyes out this morning. Someone came to Jesus with this question. Isn't it good to know we can ask God anything, right? Some of us have a lot of questions, don't we, right? And here's a question that this young man had. Teacher, what good things must I do to have eternal life? He wanted a list. I don't know how long it would have taken Jesus to answer that question, right? Because our life is designed to be that we do all good things, always doing something godly, which is what God is good, right? So doing what God would have us do is always what creates good in the world, right? So that's essentially, there's a long list for that, isn't there? So this is going to be a long message that Jesus answers. Why ask me what is good? Only God is good. But to answer your question, you can receive eternal life if you keep the commandments. Wow, how can we have eternal life? Keeping the commandments. And later on, we see in the book of John, he also talks about how do you have eternal life? Believe in the one that God sent. That's how easy that is. So there's the commandments we have to follow, right? And so, like any one of us, we would say, well, which ones do I have to keep? There are how many? 10, right? 10 that were actually put on the stone tablets that Moses had, correct? Not all the rules and regulations that other people try to tell us to live by. God wrote them down for us, twice, in fact, right? Because the first tablets broke. Anyway, needless to say. Jesus replied, here's the answer to some. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. I've obeyed all these commandments, the young man replied. What else must I do? It's like, okay, I've done all that. Is there anything else I must do? Well, there's like 5 more commandments, right? But that's beside the point, I guess. Did I read 5? Yes, I guess I did. I've obeyed all of these. Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, meaning do you want to be whole and complete like God is, right? God is complete in terms of perfection because God is only love and God is only good, right? God doesn't have any darkness in him whatsoever, correct? So if you want to be like God is essentially what Jesus is saying. He says this, sell all you have and give the money to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. So obviously that love your neighbor part of that one commandment that the man said he did, what did Jesus know about this man? He didn't do that so much after all, did he? How did he not love his neighbor? Well, obviously he was quite rich, and didn't care for the poor, didn't take care of the poor, didn't share any of his wealth with the poor whatsoever, right? And Jesus is saying, go sell your possessions. Go sell the things you have. Get rid of the things that you think are so important to you that you've amassed and that you hold on to and that give you earthly wealth. Sell all that and give your money to the poor and then come follow me. And as he was going to go follow him, he would then in turn be able to learn better how to love his neighbor by first of all giving up those things that he was holding on to that stopped him from loving his neighbor. You see? But when the young man heard this, he went away sadly because he had many possessions. He couldn't give up all that stuff he had, all those things that he owned, all those things that stopped him from surrendering that and giving it away to love his neighbor. He stopped short at the capability of being able to really love God fully in a complete way and in a total way. He was essentially had too many more important things. He had a grip on the world, right? So many of us, do we not get caught up in worldly things? Do we not worry about the things that we're going to have and do and so on and so forth? And we sometimes ask the question, well, if I give that to them, what am I going to have left? Not realizing the trust that we can have in God. This man was relying only on himself and his wealth, right? And he felt as though if I give up my possessions, I'm going to lose everything. But is he going to lose everything if he gives up what's inside his heart in place of God? Is he going to lose everything if he gives up all that earthly wealth and he's so rich and he's got all that money? Is he going to lose? If he loses all that, he's going to gain nothing? What's going to happen if he gives all of himself, the thing that's he's holding on to, that's more important in the priorities, his choices, right? What's more important to him than God? His wealth, what he owns, what he has, self-care, right? Taking himself as more important, as well as thinking, if I give away myself, I get nothing in return. So why would I do that? So he walks away sadly because he didn't really hear what Jesus was saying, did he? Because he stayed stuck where he was. He thought what was important was what he had, not realizing by giving away everything to the poor, truly loving his neighbor as himself. If he loved his neighbor as himself, he would share his wealth, wouldn't he? We see selfishness here. But also, we also see self-confidence or a way that he thinks he has to take care of himself. And Jesus had more in mind for this man, didn't he? Just think what that man could have done if he sold all that money, possessions. Actually, it wasn't even money that he had. He had all these possessions. He was like the massive hoarder, evidently, right? So he's got all this stuff, all these things that he's holding on to that mean nothing. He spent his money on things, didn't he? So he's quite poor when you really think about in terms of his relationship with God. But if he sold all that meant nothing because it was obviously something he wasn't even using for the benefit of somebody else. I mean, if he owned a lawnmower and he went around mowing other people's lawns, okay, I can see him keeping that possession, right? Because Jesus wants us to use what we have for the benefit of others, correct? Right, of course. So this man has too much stuff, too many things that he's holding on to, and he walks away sad. Didn't follow Jesus. one of the saddest stories in the Bible. But there, he's not alone. There are many other people that when Jesus calls them to change their life and to give up what they're holding on to in place of God and to ask them to do more for others, very often they walk away. When it gets hard to be loving and forgiving and kind and generous to others, sometimes it's easier to just walk away. But you see how he ends up with a sad spirit. I'm sure he became a Sadducee. Oh, had to throw that in there. Sorry. So we see this. Here's what happens. We see this, and Jesus says, you know, to the disciples who then say, well, wait a minute, you know, he gave up everything, so did we. What are we going to gain by doing that? Right? The disciples then watch this man walk away, and as the scriptures go on, he says, when I come in my glory, you'll be, those of you that are my followers will receive 100 times in return everything you've given up in this life and in the next. So when we give away something, when we give up something, when we choose to just stop letting things own us, we give those things away for the benefit of the kingdom of God and for people, that's loving our neighbor as ourselves, we get 100 times blessings in return. I kind of like that, don't you? I like God's math. I like God's math. So we see that, you know, his choice, this man's choice to keep and hold on to what he had, to keep that, his love of those things were more than his love for God or other people. Because what the scriptures also tell us in the commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You can't love God and love your neighbor if you have something above that in terms of your choices. We all do that, do we not, though? Are there not things that get in the way of our relationship with God and others? If we're honest, we're all going to be honest here, right, this morning, because the truth sets us free. So we have to sometimes, remember I said I asked you if you wanted a more satisfying, fulfilled life? Love God and love your neighbor. If you do those two things, your life will be so full of blessings and you'll feel so much better about yourself and you'll be a follower of Christ, really, to do awesome and wonderful things. And you'll feel blessed and wonderful in the process. But you'd have to empty some things out for that, wouldn't you? Oops. Okay. So shall we move to the next story? Let's go to the book of Luke, because we're going to compare a couple of people here. In the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into her home. Woohoo! Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what Jesus said. Listening to what he taught. But Martha was worrying over the dinner that she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here in front of you while I do all the work? Boy, this Martha, she's fun, isn't she? Tell her to come and help me. She's sitting at your feet, that lazy person. I'm preparing the dinner. I'm doing something really important here. I'm making dinner. She's sitting there doing what? Nothing but listening to Jesus. The things he was teaching, that's making dinner is certainly by far more important than listening to Jesus Christ. Is it? You sure? How about breakfast? We're getting a little hungry this morning. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. I could use some breakfast right about now. Don't you love Martha's attitude? Slight sibling rivalry here, right? Does Martha even have a conception or understanding of who Jesus is? Maybe. Well, she's obviously doing something for him, isn't she, though? She's making dinner. She's serving the Lord, right? That's important, too, is it not? Of course it is. Serving God, right? Making dinner, that's the gift of hospitality, right? That's beautiful that she's doing that. Wonderful. Thank you, Martha. We need Marthas in our life, do we not? Especially you don't want me cooking for you, of course. Thank you, Lord, for the Marthas in our church that cook. But what if she decided to just put a roast in the oven and sat down next to Mary and listened to Jesus too? Or maybe she could see her sisters listening to Jesus and she goes, oh, thank you, God. Finally, she's sitting at your feet listening. I hope she is taught exactly what she needs. Right? Her attitude is a problem here, is it not? Serving God with the wrong attitude is not serving God. And for all of us that, you know, do whatever things we do, when we judge or try to criticize another person for doing something while we think they ought to be doing something else, like doing something as opposed to sitting in here praying or ministering to others or whatever the case might be, or spending time on other things like serving in other ways, we're not here to judge each other as to how someone's serving, right? And we're not here to judge when a person needs time of prayer and looking at the Word of God or whatever the case might be. We're just glad they are doing that, right? Right? Except when you're hungry. Okay, can you speed this up, Jesus? Can you talk faster? Can you have my sister help me? Now, I don't know anything about Mary whatsoever. Maybe she was going to do dishes after the meal. I don't know. But here's what Jesus says to Martha. My dear Martha, he's so sweet with her, isn't he? Now, I don't know about you, but you know, if I was sitting there listening to Jesus and somebody said to me, hey, get up and help me, I'm not so sure I'd be like, oh, my dear Martha. You're so upset over all these details, things you're worried about that don't even matter. There is really only one thing being concerned about. What is that? What's the one thing? Jesus. Spending time with Jesus. Listening so you can hear what he's got to say. You know, Mary might have intentionally sat at his feet because these houses were small, keep in mind. So, you know, he would recline and be waiting there while Martha was in perhaps a little part of they don't have stoves, but they had fireplaces and such like that, and they would make bread on it or whatever the case. We don't know what kind of, this wasn't an elaborate dinner. Or they could have been waiting for delivery to come. Who knows? I don't really know. But all I'm saying is this. Perhaps Jesus saw the opportunity while Martha was busy. He could speak to Mary without her listening or overhearing it. Because he had something important to say to Mary, evidently, right? So if he had something important to say to Mary, he also had something important to say to whom? Martha as well. You're so concerned about serving. You're so concerned about all these details. You're worrying about how this meal is going to turn out. How about being concerned about my relationship with you? See, God wants us to stop and listen and be taught. When do you stop and listen? Do you set a time to do that? Or what if you're in the middle of something and God's trying to speak to you? Do you stop and listen? I asked the question earlier about wanting a richer, more fulfilling life. We see two examples, a rich man who essentially had his heart filled with other things besides God and the love of others. So if there's something in place of you and God inside of you, that has to go. You have to empty yourself out of that. You do. Oh, remember I said there were things that had to go? Remember that part earlier? I'm back at that. I'm sorry. Because it's so important, isn't it? How do you have a fulfilling life, a life that's full? It has to be emptied of all the stuff that's not of God, right? The things we put our time and our energy and our eyes upon and where we spend our time and so forth and so on, right? The things we do with our life. Because our life has a expiration date, in case you didn't know that, at least here on earth. Right? And so don't wait until something happens for you to suddenly decide to live your life for God. How about you do it now? How about you make choices about your relationship with God and your relationship with others by emptying out of your life and your time and your attention? And you know, we have so many distractions as Martha did. We have so many things that we're so concerned about and the things we have to do that we very often put God where? Last. So very often when I'm doing couples counseling, I often ask couples, how much time do you spend with God? Huh? What? What? I thought we were going to get married. Well, yeah, but that's the third in your relationship. How much time do you two of you spend with God, with each other, with God? That's a choice we make, is it not? How many of you have time to spend time with God? Oh, only these people that raise their hands do. There's a few. Oh, I see one on Facebook. Thank you. Okay. It's all about choice, right? It's all about choices we make. Recently, I was speaking with a person who had some tests done, and they thought they were going to get some bad results. So they decided they were going skydiving because they've always wanted to. Now, this person is slightly older than me by a lot. And unfortunately, skydiving might not be the feasible thing to do, right? Skydiving. Okay. I asked the question, is there something more important that you might want to do with the time that's left with your life? Is there someone you need to forgive? Some relationship that's been destroyed or you've neglected, or somebody that you need to contact? You see how there's choices, right? We sometimes think that the things we want to do with our life are the things that we've never done that we would enjoy, right? But if you have enough things where you have a strong relationship with God and with other people, that's your life, is it not? And when you love God and you spend time with God, which is part of what this is about, and empty yourself out of the things that you think are important and you make good priorities and choices in your life, you will have a life that's filled with fullness and joy and peace and happiness and satisfaction at the end of the day. Yes? So there's two ways that we miss out on either learning or growing with Jesus. We either have too many distractions or wrong priorities. We think that making a meal is more important than listening to God or spending time with God. We think that doing things for others, you know, just hanging out with them is enough, as opposed to really just having a heartfelt talk with them about God and the relationship with God and devotions with them and praying with them and things of that nature. You follow what I'm saying? And spending time alone with God, with one another, in God's presence, like we do each Sunday when we're here. So see, you always get an opportunity, right, to be taught, right? You're sitting at Jesus' feet right now, are you not? Now, some of you are thinking about other things, correct? Being distracted, if you're honest. Mm-mm. That breakfast kind of sounded good. I want all of you somehow in your life to make choices that help you stop and listen more to God. Carve out time. Let the first thing you do in the morning and the last thing you do at night, and you can do all the stuff in between, even if you want to go skydiving, whatever that is, morning, evening, in between your day, stop and listen to God speak. We miss so much that we could learn and grow from by not having that conversation with God. And if you need more help on how to listen to God, I'm happy to give you that advice later after the service. Because it takes you choosing to do it. And while you're there with him in that listening stage, the second thing is that the things that you care about, give those to God and trust God that he's going to take care of the things that you care about. And fill your life not with the things that you think will make you happy, because everything that we have that are things, they deteriorate, right? And then you want the next thing because that you don't have internal satisfaction and happiness. The more you love God and love your neighbor truly and make that what you do, because this is what Jesus is teaching here in both instances, the more your life will be rich. The richer you'll feel, the more satisfied you'll feel, the better you'll feel, and hopefully the better attitude you'll have towards others. So, Oh, I was going to tell you how, right? Oh, yeah. I see a note here. Say how. Make God's priorities your priorities. Ta-da! Make God's what's God's priorities? People. So God's priority is people. What's your priority now? People. Right? Love God, love your neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor. That's all you have to do. If you don't know how to love your neighbor as yourself, then spend some time with Jesus and have him help you understand how to do that. He's a great how-to. He shows you how, doesn't he? Okay. So we talked about emptying things out. You ready for that? Think for a second. What is it that takes your time away from God? What is the one thing for you? And whatever that one thing is, where does it have to go? So if you're a Martha who's really busy doing things and worried about things, how about you stop and listen first? How about you sit at Jesus' feet first? Then you'll get the right spirit to go do what you're going to do. You follow me? So you spend time with God, and that causes you by his spirit in you to do it, what you're doing, with the right heart. Find a way and a time and a place, however that is for you, where you truly listen and just sit there. And I know it's going to be hard because I have a difficult time with this myself. Stop talking and listen. Listen with that inner ear, that inner part of your heart that God wants to speak to you. I wonder about Mary in this story. She doesn't get up and go help Martha, does she? She doesn't just run and jump and go, oh, my God, my sister's upset with me. I better help her. When you're in the presence of God, everything unimportant goes out of your focus, doesn't it? When you're truly in the presence of God and you're listening and hearing God's power and spirit and wisdom come upon you, even if it's in one word, everybody and everything else falls away, doesn't it? Don't you love being in the presence of God? Don't you find peace there? That's what Mary had that was so important. If you want to know how to have a fulfilling life, get your priorities straight. Love God first. Spend the first part and the last part and the middle part and all the parts of your day listening for God to speak and in ways that you can also help others. But beyond that, find time for you and God when nobody else is around. And even if Martha's busy, busy, busy around you and life is calling at you to do whatever it's going to do and your phone's ringing off the hook and you're hearing a ding from your phone that's giving you a text or whatever. Oh, you might shut them off, I suppose. Oh, yeah, there is an off button on those things, come to think of it. Shut your things off that don't really matter. spend some time with God. I don't care if it's 5 minutes. That will change your life like you can't believe. And in that process, you can also empty yourself out. Like that rich man, get rid of those things that don't matter, whatever those things are in your life. Cling to God. Stop worrying about all kinds of things. Be a Mary every day. Spend time alone with Christ. I promise you this. Your life will change so dramatically as you follow Christ and listen to that wisdom. You won't have time to mess with the other stuff you used to mess with because you'll be so busy loving God and loving your neighbor. Amen. Amen.